If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. ABC News reported today that a new Inspector General's report found that about $700 million awarded to help Hurricane Katrina victims fortify their homes from future floods is unaccounted for. Congressional leaders say the report is a troubling sign of the need for tighter controls as Superstorm Sandy rebuilding efforts intensify this spring. David Montoya, the Inspector General of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, told ABC News that the likelihood of reclaiming the money was slim at best. President Obama and Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel will both voluntarily forfeit a portion of their salaries in response to the $85 billion in spending cuts caused this year by sequestration. Pentagon spokesman George Little told reporters today that Hagel will issue a check to the Treasury as a sign of solidarity with other DOD employees who are subject to a 14-day pay cut. Meanwhile, the New York Times reported that Obama will return 5% of his annual salary to the Treasury. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Gentlemen, this is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am your Chris, your host, Chris Ricketts, and I'm glad to be here this evening. I think spring is coming, although it keeps getting freezing at night. I don't know what's going on with this. But anyways, we've got an exciting show lined up for you tonight. Hope you're listening. And if you want to call in, the number is 718-305-7176. Love to hear from you. We have a really awesome guest just waiting here. He is a recent convert to the Catholic faith as of this past Sunday on Easter. It's when Catholics on the Easter Vigil Saturday night, we have the Easter Vigil Mass, and all those who are interested and have gone through the all the intense studying and training and everything known as RCIA. They are initiated into the church, baptized, confirmed, first communion is received. It's awesome. So we have on with us author Carlos Carrasco, and he wrote, I read his book. It is absolutely, it's a nail biter. It's a Catholic kind of political intrigue novel. And Carlos has a very interesting conversion story. So he's here to tell us all about his book, which is a big part of his conversion story. Carlos, how are you this evening?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. So first, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I was born in Cuba back in 1963. And my family came over to the States in 68. So right after about the same time the curtain came down. I think we got out just before the curtain hit and closed.
Good timing.
So, yeah, I didn't have to backstroke my way across the Caribbean. And I grew up in New York City for the most part. I think the first 21, 22 years of my life, I grew up there. We were raised shortly after arriving in New York, my grandmother. So I came over with my father, my grandmother, and two of my three sisters. My grandmother converted to Jehovah's Witnesses. So
okay.
That was my first exposure to religion, which didn't last too long. I think the time I was 17, I had enough of it and kind of like turned my back on it and went my own way. Unfortunately, at the time, I used my experiences with the Jehovah's Witnesses to kind of like blanket judge all of Christianity, and so
right.
for most of my adult life, I just lumped them all together and dismissed them all until so much later in life, till about 2005. That's when I first began to look into religion in general and Christianity in particular, and focusing more and more on Catholicism.
That was 2005. What led you to Catholicism specifically?
Well, I've always wanted to write, and something I wanted to since I was a child and never really pursued, and it was, I guess I was at reaching that age where, you know, you begin to look at things undone, and mm-hmm. it reminded me I got to write something, but I didn't know what to write, and I looked at what I read, and what I usually read was, you know, thrillers. Political thrillers, action adventure stories, you know,
uh-huh.
stuff like Robert Ludlum or Vince Flynn, Brad Thor, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love Vince Flynn. He's great.
Yeah, I know. I do too. So I knew if I was going to write something, it'd be a political thriller of some kind. But I just, you know, try as I might, I couldn't pick a subject or come up with a plot. It was like banging my head against the wall. And then, I was living in New Orleans at the time. This is, I was just coming back into the city after Katrina. I evacuated for a while, for a few months. And when I got back to New Orleans, I started working with this reconstruction company. We were renovating houses that were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the crew just happened to be like a half dozen Catholics on the crew. And I've known Catholics all my life, but they were always like lukewarm, lapsed Catholics, so you couldn't tell what Catholic unless they actually told you so. But these were like real Catholics, you know, they were like practicing Catholics, you know, they said grace before meal, they didn't work on Sundays, they went to Mass every Sunday, and it was like my first real exposure to, and they were to Catholics, practicing Catholics. And they were all, you know, young and, you know, all hard workers. And I find myself, you know, really enjoying their company and going, oh, these guys are not bad. And I'm going, well, and somehow I got the notion in my head at that point that I would write a political thriller about Christians taking over the government, you know, and trying to establish a theocracy.
Right, right.
All right. So, I mean, I liked the guys I was working with, and but I wasn't, you know, I've always thought of Catholicism as, you know, of all the Christian sects, you know, that was the root of them all, so they had to be the worst of them, you know. They were,
right.
You know, even as a non-believer, I kind of recognize that all the other sects are offshoots of Catholicism. They're all like pale copies of it.
Right.
So, well, you know, I need to get to know what these people actually believe. If I'm going to be fair, and I wanted to be fair. I wanted created characters. I wanted them to actually espouse Catholic beliefs. I needed to know what they believed, what they worshipped, how they worshipped. So I studied these guys, and then I picked up a catechism, and that was kind of amusing because when I got the catechism, and I got the old Baltimore catechism.
Oh, the good stuff.
Yeah. I remember thinking, oh, this is probably going to be like some kind of book of Catholic magic spells. You know, if you want so-and-so, say, you know, the Hail Mary, this is why you know, flagellate yourself or hopping on one leg or something to that effect. But I read through it, and it was like, okay, this is nothing like what I expected. And I, you know, it was all very... The whole answer and question, you know, a question and answer method of it. What is this? Defining terms, giving answers, asking questions, giving answers, and all the way through. I'm like, okay. And it all seemed pretty reasonable. Not reasonable enough for me to believe in, but it was reasonable enough that the first veil was lifted, if I can use that expression. It didn't seem irrational. Because I'd always assume Catholicism to be utterly irrational. because they don't pray to idols. They don't, you know, they don't pray to the saints. They pray through the saints, with the saints. They beg the saints to pray for them. I say, okay. And little by little, things just like started making more sense. And I began
started wearing you down a little bit, huh?
Yeah, between them, the way they lived, their genuine love of the faith, that they weren't weird about it. They weren't like moonies or cultists. They were genuine, authentic people
mm-hmm.
who just happened to be Catholic. And that Catholicism actually, after a while, learned was the source of their genuineness and authenticity. Because, you know, they were unabashedly, Catholic. And so through them and reading the catechism, began to see that, well, I was wrong about the religion and believing that it was just superstition and irrational. It's rational. And then I read, little by little, I read more and more. I didn't jump right into it because I was living a lifestyle at the time that I had to extricate myself from. I was, when I wasn't working with them, I was a bartender down in New Orleans. And that involves, at least the way I lived it, that involved a lot of time drinking and partying. And so,
sure.
But the seed was planted. And even when I tried to ignore it, and say, okay, well, that's cool. That's cool for them. That's cool for some people. But it's not for me. They were still there in the back of my head. The interest wouldn't leave me. So I read more, and every now and then I would treat myself to a Catholic book. I would read some history, history of the Crusades, the history of the Inquisitions, and then I discovered Chesterton. And that was the beginning of the end for the old heathen.
Once you get to Chesterton, it's all over. Hey, Carlos, hold that thought for a minute. I just want to let everyone know that make sure to join former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee on The Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. You've probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He's the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. And liberals can't stand him because he's right. That alone means he fits right in here. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So, Carlos, you were doing all this research basically because you wanted to write a book and you at least wanted to represent Catholicism the way the church actually teaches.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I decided I wanted to be, as every good writer tries to be fair to their subject.
Right.
And I wanted to be fair to the Catholic Church. But like Chesterton has pointed out, it's impossible to be fair to the church. You're either a lover or a hater. And the more I read, the more I find myself falling in love with the church. It's like they went from making from not being irrational to making sense, and the more sense it made, the more I felt her demanding that I change my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you know the truth, it's impossible to go back to living a lie.
Yeah.
At least not without torturing yourself, which is what I then did for a couple of years while I waited on the fence and tried to, deny myself all the changes that my life needed.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I was little by little extricating myself from a very self-destructive lifestyle. And that took, that took a couple of years. And while I was doing that, I kept my researches up. I hadn't started writing yet, but I kept researching and imagining what I would do, imagining scenes, during my spells of sobriety. I kept slowly piecing the work together in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while, the urge in me just kept growing that this is the way. You can't deny this anymore. I mean, it makes sense in the head and the heart, and you hear the call, you know, stop resisting it.
Absolutely. Carlos, we got to take a quick break, but after this, folks, don't go away. We're going to hear more from Catholic author Carlos Carrasco. Be right back.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website. TheThirdLantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And we're back. You're listening to the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the show, please call the number 718-305-7176. Be glad to hear from you. We are talking to Carlos Carrasco, a newly converted Catholic author, and he is telling us his conversion story and how he began researching a Catholic political intrigue thriller, and at least through his research wanted to be fair to the church. Oh, by the way, the name of his book is The House of War, Book 1 of the Omega Crusade, and I have read it, and it is an awesome book, and I'm really looking forward to the next installment so I can be first in line to pick it up. So, Carlos,
yes.
We were talking about your research and everything else, so where do we leave off here?
I was at the point where I could no longer deny that to myself that this is the way to go, that I wanted to become Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, one thing that held me back for another year or so was, the whole Vatican II controversy.
Right.
It was I couldn't make heads or tails or anything. And I'm not claiming to understand it all even now. I doubt I ever will. But slowed me down, what slowed my entrance into the church, because it was about 3 years ago when I decided that I wanted to be Catholic. At that point, I didn't know which way to go, because I had, I had my traditional conservative Catholic friends. Some of them who looked with disdain on anything Novus Ordo, and then I had Novus Ordo people I knew who looked with equal disdain on them, and they were each side had camps. And I'm not saying everybody on each side, but each side had camps that considered the others heretical.
Right.
And that I was like, all right, I wanted to be Catholic, but I didn't know which camp to join and which was authentic and which was not. And that was, quite a knot to untie. in the end, what I decided through a lot of prayer and just going to both liturgies was that, after all, it really was one church.
Exactly.
Right. Unfortunately, they were bickering amongst themselves.
No, it's very unfortunate that you have that. You know, I love the Tridentine Mass. I think it's beautiful. But then again, there aren't any around my area, so I go to, you know, my local parish and still receive the body of Christ, go to confession and everything else. Just, you know, I admire you for. It's disturbing that you had to fight through that because of all the bickering, as you put it. So I admire you for kind of wading your way through that and coming to a conclusion.
Yeah, well, that was the mass was it for me.
Right.
I mean, I kept watching the mass as it was celebrated in both rites, and over time I got to distinguish the mass from the liturgy. I mean, the Mass is in the liturgy. The liturgy surrounds the Mass, and the Mass of the Mass, so long as the words of consecration are said the same, it came not to matter whether they're said in English or Latin or Swahili.
Exactly.
As long as the words of consecration are said, and, you know, by a properly ordained priest, then the Mass is valid. Now, the liturgies can change, and the more I studied church history, the more I realized the church has always had multiple liturgies, and sometimes they streamlined them into one or two. But the, you know, the church recognizes, you know, the liturgies of the Byzantines or other, you know, slightly separated brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so for me, it became about the Mass, and that's why we go to church anyway. It's the Mass. Yes, like yourself, I prefer the Tridentine Mass. I will, you know, drive an extra hour to get it when I can. But I've been mm-hmm. going to a Novus Ordo Mass, and where it in St. Benedict's, where I go, they celebrate it just as reverently as Latin rites are celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have our preferences. I will always prefer the Latin Mass, just because the rituals of it and even the language. I know people make a big deal about Latin, but it makes a difference for me. You know? It just seems to, the liturgy itself seems to be raised on a higher plane than just the vernacular. Some would argue against that, but that's just the way I feel about it. I will always prefer it. I will always go through it if I can.
But, so where in all of this did you actually start writing your book?
About the time that I decided that I wanted to be Catholic. Then I had a direction for the book.
Mm-hmm.
When I originally envisioned the book, the Catholics were going to be the bad guys, you know, and they were going to take over their, you know, country and establish a theocracy. And, you know, and I had, that was my intention. Once I realized that I was completely wrong about the church, what she believed, how she worshipped, her history. Once I realized I was wrong about everything and that the church was right, then, well, suddenly the church became the good guys, and I had to write something that would honor her. I didn't know exactly where, but around that time, that's when I decided, well, there's a patron saint for everything. I'm going to
mm-hmm.
find
oh,
who
yeah.
the patron saint of writing is. And implore his help. And so I looked it up, and it was St. Francis de Sales. And there is a prayer that for writers that one prays to him through. And so that night I said the prayer of St. Francis de Sales for writers, I go for a walk at night, usually just to clear my head and get some air. And by the end of that short walk, a 35-minute walk, the story just unfolded in my head. And so I knew how to end it. I knew how to get there. So, like everything you read in my novel,
mm-hmm.
all that just, in like a 35-minute walk, all that unfolded in my head. It was an incredible thing. I just had snippets and scenes, all unconnected, all disjointed, with no real direction. And, you know, and it all came to me, and that was like 2.5 years ago. And then I scrapped everything I had written up to that point and started from scratch. And what the final product is what you read.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first prayer
to my first saint was answered immediately.
Ah, there you go. Rapid response. Not bad. All right, so your book is talking about it kind of takes place in the future a little bit, a few years from now, right?
Yeah, 2019 is when I begin it.
Okay, and I love the way you definitely weaved in some current political events and even people into your book, even though if it's slightly fictitious in some of it, but what. So you combine Catholicism with your love of kind of political thriller intrigue kind of things. That I don't know. In my mind, that would seem to be like a daunting task. How did you kind of mash that all together?
Well, I wanted to apply what I was learning and researching about Catholic social theory to what is happening today and how it's applicable. And how to everything that's happening today, how it's basically the cure for all that ails us if we would actually be Catholic. I mean, to quote Chesterton again, it's Catholicism wasn't found to be impractical and left behind. It was found to be good and not practiced. So I can't remember the exact quote, but if we would just apply Catholic social theory and doctrine to the way we live as a society, as a civilization, so much of what ails us would just disappear. But I wanted first, with this first book, to contrast what the world would like us to do.
Kind of like the secular world?
Right, the secularism. Its values create a story that reflects secular values. Create a world that reflects it. So I set the story in 2019, which is only a handful of years from now.
Right.
And I take all the stuff that is being implemented now and being discussed now, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the secular ideas about eugenics and alternative lifestyles, and show what the real life consequences of those things would be in a short time,
mm-hmm.
and particularly what they would mean to Christians and Catholics. What the effects they would have on churches and the freedom of worship.
Right.
And so the first book sets up the story. It's in broad brush strokes. I paint a picture of what society will look like in short order if we continue upon this path. And in the subsequent books, answering one charge at a time, I will counter all the secularist arguments with what I have learned from Catholic social theory, and Catholicism in general.
Well, that sounds really exciting. Like I said, I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for the next book to come out.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. But I'm also trying to make it a kind of a catechism of sorts, also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but housed in an exciting story. It is, after all, the genre is political thriller, so I try to make it as exciting as possible.
Right.
But in there slip in, basically, tenets of the faith, beliefs of the faith, practices of the faith, so weave it into the story, because I know before I was Catholic. Occasionally I'd wonder, what are they doing? What are Catholics doing when they're praying the beads? What are they saying? What are they doing? What's going on in the Mass? What's going on with this and with that? It's going to be like a full book series. So throughout the full book series, I want to have it serve as a sort of a catechism light. So at the end of the series, someone who knows nothing about Catholicism would not walk away not knowing the basic tenets of the faith. So
That's definitely an ambitious goal. Hey, Carlos, we got to take a quick break, but when we come back, maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the plot without revealing too much here. So,
sure.
All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Catholic author Carlos Carrasco right after this. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic flags and t-shirts. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah. Obvious. Oh, hey, guys. Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait. Is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the show, please call in at 718-305-7176. We are talking with newly converted Catholic author Carlos Carrasco about his book and also about his conversion. The book is called The House of War, Book One of the Omega Crusade, and it's a Catholic political thriller, and I absolutely loved reading it. You can find it on Amazon, and I highly encourage you to check out this book and share it with all your friends, because it is I really, really enjoyed it. So Carlos has just been telling us a little bit about his conversion to the faith through researching this book. It was going to be about Catholics, so he wanted to at least represent the church fairly, and through his research found himself more and more drawn to the church. So it's quite a story. So Carlos, one thing that popped into my mind was, I think a lot of people, you said for a long time, you lumped all Christianity together. It was all just kind of bogus and whatnot. And I think that a lot of people, when they say they don't like the church or something about the church, it seems to be more based on what they think it is than rather what it actually is. What do you think about that?
I think that's absolutely true. Because I know all of my animus against it was all of it based on a ghost, something unreal. It wasn't the church at all that I hated. It was something that I think this an image that is manufactured by society in general.
Right.
It's not the genuine church. I mean, I think secular society goes out of its way to create this caricature is a nice word. It's this straw man of what the Christianity is in general, and the church in particular. But it's not anything like how it's presented. No matter, if you take even the its supposed darkest, dirtiest secrets or histories, if you actually examine them, it's never like the world says it is.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having one of those aha moments when I was like researching the Crusades. I had always believed, as a matter of gospel, that the Crusades were all about, you know, European Christians marching into the Holy Land and slaughtering everybody to take over Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever was taught that for 400 years before that first Crusade, you know, Muslim armies were marching all over Europe and they had sacked Rome twice and were at the gates of Madrid and Vienna, and I had never ever heard that growing up. I had always heard that it was all about Christian aggression into the Holy Land. And so, and you can, if you read about the Inquisitions, you'll also find that it's nothing like the world tells you it is.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you find out about the Inquisition?
Well, they were more like internal, my impression was they were more like internal affairs investigations. They weren't created to force conversions on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Basically to make sure that people were Catholics. When I say people, I mean Catholics, were being true to the doctrine. They weren't casting off something that wasn't Catholic as Catholicism. And so the Inquisition was created for and aimed at Catholics. And they didn't butcher all these people like, Monty Python skits and Hollywood makes it out to be.
Didn't the Spanish king also heavily lean on the Inquisition, too? It wasn't just the church, but there was some political stuff in there, too.
Well, the Spanish Inquisition is a creature all unto its own. Spanish Inquisition
right.
was the child of Ferdinand and Isabella. That was more mm-hmm. of a police state kind of thing. They even told the Pope, don't worry about it, we have it. They put their own person in charge of it. They rejected the Pope's influence, and they just made it into their own political creature.
Right. The government strong-handed and heavy-handed against the people. Wow, we've never heard of that one before.
Yeah, I know. It's done by all governments, and they'll use whatever means possible. But even as the Spanish Inquisition should be distinguished from the other Inquisitions, but even in that one, a lot of the crimes that are attributed to all Inquisitions can usually be dropped at the foot of the Spanish Inquisition. But even mm-hmm. those are not as many and as heinous as the Protestant propaganda made it out to be.
Oh, yeah,
which is what a lot of it was. A lot of it was Protestant propaganda against both Spain and Catholicism, because, you know, they needed to look good in comparison and draw people's attention away from their own Inquisitions and purges of Catholics in England.
So getting back to your book, We got about a minute till I got to read a little announcement, but let's start talking. Can you tell us a little bit about the plot and give us a little bit of a preview of what's going on and everything?
Sure. Like you said, the book's set in the year 2019. It begins late in 2019, Christmas Eve, in fact, to be precise. And it's a lot of what is going on today is just, I just exaggerate a little more into the future. The persecutions are beginning for Christians because they won't go along with the United Nations mandated eugenics program. So persecutions of Christianity is on the rise, and not just in America, but all around the world, because the UN has a stronger hold on the world than it does now. And in response to the persecutions, a cabal of Christians within the military decide to basically strike back and take control of the country in defense of their fellow Christians, and not to mention the unborn who are being butchered in a greater number than ever before because of the worldwide eugenics program. And the whole thing, the first book takes place over one day, Christmas Eve, where the pieces are set in motion, and you get a kind of like a broad view of the conspiracy and the mechanics of it.
And this Christmas Eve, the mass is pretty much banned, right?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve, like a quarter million Christians gather in Washington, D.C. to celebrate Christmas against the government's orders, and all of them facing arrest. But the conspiracy set in motion to allow the mass to go through. The action involves about protecting the mass.
All right. Well, hold that thought. Just want to let everyone know that if you want proof that there are conservative headbangers, just ask our own Christopher Manti. Join Christopher every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Hey, you know, Carlos, I really love that scene on Christmas Eve where everyone's gathered and there's troops lining up, and you have the counter-protesters hurling, well, besides rocks and other things, just, you know, slurs and epithets and everything, but I love the homily that the Archbishop gives, and I actually read it on this show. I believe it was around Christmas time. I read that homily. That was absolutely brilliant. Where did that come from?
Thank you. From my own reflections on the meaning of Christmas and what needed to be said about it, how easily we dismiss it all. For me, Christmas became the turning point in history. Because when once our blessed Lord came into the world, literally the world changed right then and there. It was, and I don't think the world really appreciates the implication of his being born and what it means. I just needed a sermon that would put it in context. And as you know, I broke it up into three parts, three different priests talking about Christmas, and it all became like one sermon.
Yeah, that was quite a powerful sermon by the good Archbishop. And I really like it. It sets the epic stage. You know, here are the Catholics under threat of persecution, daring to defy the completely secularized government by celebrating Mass publicly in Washington, D.C. So that was definitely...
On the steps of the Supreme Court building, all this.
Even better, even better. We got to take a quick break, but don't go away, folks. We're going to be talking more about the House of War in just a second.
Hi, this is Eric Darnell.
This is David Reagan.
Jamie McMurray.
This is Carl Edwards here for RED,
the entertainment industry's voice for road safety.
Want to make a difference? It's simple. Be responsible.
Plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on ConservativeNationRadio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and if you want to be a part of the show, please call 718-305-7176. We're talking with Catholic author Carlos Carrasco. He wrote a Catholic political intrigue thriller, action, adventure, all that stuff wrapped up in one. It's called The House of War, Book One of the Omega Crusade. It is on Amazon, and I highly recommend it. So basically... Carlos, what's happened so far? We have it's 2019. The UN has a lot more power in the world now, and the US is kind of this liberal, secularized mess, which basically has been persecuting Christians, Catholics, and but unbeknownst to the government, a secret cabal has kind of taken shape among Catholics in the army. In the armed forces and throughout the government, and so it's all kind of coming to a head Christmas Eve.
Right.
That's it so far, right?
Yeah, they make themselves to take over the government. They make themselves known by Christmas Day, is when they offer. The book ends with them offering the world the creation of a. Of what they call a pro-life civilization.
Okay, that's a very interesting concept. Now, how possible do you think that would be? A pro-life nation.
Civilization. Just looking at the regular evening news, it would not seem very possible at all. But we must remain optimistic, shouldn't we? Can't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, the whole thing's about the conspiracy coming out into light and leaving the world with this offer. And the sequels will describe all the mayhem that follows.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now they take over the government pretty much, correct?
Correct.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I don't want to give too much away for the next book, but essentially, you read it, part of the way they took over the country is by taking over the satellites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. You got to get technology involved somehow.
I want to project Catholicism into the future, and this series, for me, will just be the foundation of our future series, where I project the father even further into the future. So I'm going to go from eventually I will be going from political thriller to science fiction.
Okay. You got a lot of plans here, don't you?
Well, God willing, I will see them all through. Yes, but I do. You must plan. You must keep busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in this book, too, besides the, I mean, it jumps around a lot because I know you're setting up a lot of different things and introducing a lot of characters and everything. But there's also a kind of a side plot that I noticed, that with involving the Muslims. What's going on there?
Well, the title itself is taken from the Quran, the House of War. They divide the world into two parts: the House of War, which is the unconverted part of the world, and the House of Islam is the House of the Faithful. The House, the House of War is the infidel world, and the House of Islam is their world. And so that's where the title is taken from. The sequel will be the House of Islam. Where they figure into it is they're just one of the many forces arrayed against Christendom.
Mm-hmm. So the next book is going to focus a lot on Islam and that kind of that branch.
Correct.
Okay. I see where we're going here.
The opening, the first novel, with broad brushstrokes, I kind of sparingly touch on all the subjects that the subsequent books will deal with one at a time.
Right.
So you have the Christian subject and the secularists in D.C. There's a subplot of the Muslims. There's this issue and that issue, and as the series unfolds, each one will be dealt with in more depth. But in the opening novel, I just kind of like touch on them all sparingly, just to let the reader know that what will be dealt with later.
Okay, well, I caution you to be a little careful because anytime someone even mentions the name Muhammad in a way they don't like, we see a lot of people throwing rocks and burning cars everywhere. So I mean, I don't know, but good on you. Keep going.
You can't let that nonsense scare you off. No, bring it on. If it comes to that, bring it on. I'm not gonna do the Salman Rushdie thing and go into hiding. But neither will I let I'm not gonna be censored by that. I've already gotten some negative reaction to it from people who just don't like the church, but that's their problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, is your book, it's on Amazon, right? Is it available anywhere else?
Amazon, it's available through Kindle. Or you can go to the CreateSpace site. We published it.
Okay.
CreateSpace, Amazon, and it's also available, like I said, as a low-cost ebook through Kindle.
Okay. Well, that works. I'd love to see this book get a little more recognized.
You and me both.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. Because I think it combines religion and the political thriller very well. So everyone who's listening, and please, check out the book and then share it with your friends. I think it's well worth the read, and it sets the stage very well for the next several books that are coming out. So I definitely encourage everyone to read the House of War and spread the word, because that's the only way something like this is going to get out, because it is well worth the read. So anyways, Carlos, we have we talk about abortion, and I noticed there was a lot of talk in there about alternative lifestyles and anything like that. That's some other sticky territory we're wading into. Any interesting reactions to that?
I think that the couple of negative reactions I got was because of that. But
okay, yeah.
But again, the truth is the truth, and I'm going to lay it out as succinctly and as I can, and as part of it's the reactions against presenting the traditional view of sexuality and personhood or anything, it's all the same, whether it's from Muslims who riot when you you know, have a cartoon of Muhammad, or whether it's gays who call you homophobic if you don't toe the party line. It's the same thing. It's the same instinct. It's the same effort to try to shame one into silence. Mm-hmm. And if you don't buy their premise that to say the truth makes you hateful, then you can't be silent. I mean, saying that, you know, homosexuality is a sexual disorder is not the same thing as saying, I hate gays.
Right.
But they will try to equate the two in the hope that you will shut your mouth.
Absolutely.
I don't accept the premise, so my mouth ain't shutting. If I say whatever I say in the next book about Islam, it's how I see it, and if some Muslims don't like it, well then, oops. and if someone has a critique of Catholicism, I don't lob a bomb. I take it inside, and if it's legit, I go with it. I accept it. If it's not legit, I just brush it off. I mean, we live in very, very overly sensitive times. People just—they lack a sense of humor,
Sometimes it seems like in America, the worst crime you can commit is to be offensive. You know, we don't want to offend anyone by saying something they wouldn't like. So, you know, being offensive is the worst thing you could do now.
Yeah, I know. Well, one shouldn't say anything purposely offensive.
No, absolutely.
I mean, no one should go out of their way to offend anybody. But the thing is, stating your opinion or stating what you know to be fact is often considered offensive.
Right.
Sorry, but if facts offend you, then you're living in the wrong world.
Just out of curiosity, you said you read G.K. Chesterton. Have you read any Pope John Paul II?
I have his Theology of the Body, but I have not read it into it, no.
Oh, man, if you're going to be looking, especially more if you're dealing with in one of your other books, you know, some more of the alternative lifestyles, I would highly recommend Theology of the Body. And he also has Love and Responsibility, too.
That's why I have it. To read it for that sake. Yeah, I know. I read excerpts, and that's why I got it, because I know I'm going to need to read it to properly put out the Catholic point of view about sexuality. So, yes, I will definitely get to it.
That can be pretty dense reading, too. Pope speak can be quite hard, at least for me, anyway.
But they're great, aren't they?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's beautiful writing.
The best thing I've discovered about Catholicism is the encyclicals.
Yeah.
You just pick one at random and lose yourself in them. They're all so rich and life-changing. Any one of them. I mean, I remember the first time I read Humana Vitae. No, that's a short one.
Right.
That was like, wow. It's like he saw all this coming and nobody listened to him.
No, and he sure turned out to be right. Absolutely. No, I greatly admire the path you've taken. It's quite a life story that, you know, you've unfolded for us here tonight, and I had to deal with
listening to it.
No, absolutely. And it's kind of amazing that just through writing a book and doing research you came to believe in Catholicism and you were just received into church Saturday night. How was that?
Oh, it was glorious. It was a long time coming. Finally, it was like the weight of the world off the shoulders. The weight of my past alive and mistakes and stumbling in the dark, all that just gone in a instant. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love the Easter Vigil. I was at a small church in Maryland on a priest friend of mine had actually called me up and asked me to cantor because he needed somebody to sing the Exultet and a bunch of the responsorial psalms. So at the last minute, I'm like, oh, sure, let's do this. but it's good fun. So anyways, Carlos, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And any idea when the next book's going to come out?
September.
September. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. You heard it here on the Warrior Catholic Show. Carlos, you have a wonderful night, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Ricketts.
All right.
God bless. Ciao.
God bless. All right, folks. When we come back, more with the Warrior Catholic Show, and we're going to be talking a little bit about, little bit of news and some other things. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities. The building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationRadio.org, and if you want to be a part of the program, and I'd love to hear from you, the number is 718-305-7176. We just talked with a great guy and a good author, Carlos Carrasco, author of The House of War, book one of the Omega Crusade. Check it out on Amazon, Kindle, and spread the word, because it really is an outstanding book. I was really I read it, and my wife read it, and we both loved it. So anyways, the topic of this next segment here, it's kind of, I wanted to get to it last week, but I really didn't. I was inspired in other ways. It was good for, it was a Holy Week. We talked a lot about the Passion of Christ, and then also in the second hour we talked a lot about the debate surrounding homosexual marriage. But I want to get to it tonight, and it's been on my mind, and I've been trying to piece it together, and I'd love to hear your thoughts too. So please feel free to call at 718-305-7176. What is the future of the GOP and through that conservatism. You know, since Obama's re-election, disastrous re-election at that, we've seen Republicans just in a frenzy. They've been flopping all over the place like, you know, fish out of water, lying on the deck of a boat or something. You know, they don't know who they don't know who they are, what to do, and how to present the conservative or their message. And it's really, you know, there have been calls to redefine the GOP, calls to, you know, they've been conceding on many different fronts in Congress to the demands of the Democrats. And the Democrats and Obama have led us down the path of destruction financially. They have led us down the path of increased entitlements and just disastrous policies. So the GOP now is seeming ready to just flop and cave on every issue, almost every issue. I mean, we have a lot of conservatives and, well, maybe Republicans now reconsidering their stance on immigration, on and also on the issue of same-sex marriage. And, you know, that since the GOP seems to want to become more like liberals, maybe liberal light, I mean, they're all, not only are they ensuring their defeat, you know, in the foreseeable future, it's also leaving us conservatives out to dry. This is kind of – I've just been mulling this over for the last couple of days, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 718-305-7176. Where does that leave conservatives? You know, the GOP historically seems to – they don't like conservatives. They find us embarrassing, especially the social issues that a lot of solid Christian conservatives hold dear. They don't like to enunciate that. They kind of take us for granted that we're just going to vote for them. You know, and it was because of conservatives that the GOP was handed the 2010 midterm elections, but they really squandered that and really didn't do a whole lot to advance conservatism. So where does that leave us conservatives, the Tea Partiers, those who, you know, hardworking Americans trying to get by and don't want the government to be screwing everything up? You know, if the Republican Party becomes more Democrat-like, you know, is there really a place for conservatives in the GOP? That's what I want to know. That's what I'm asking you, 718-305-7176. If the GOP is going to go belly up and surrender, that's going to leave a lot of folks out, you know, high and dry. We were sold. We've been sold losing candidates. We had John McCain. We had Mitt Romney, to name a couple. I mean, these kind of rhino folks that the party just paints as well, he's just going to be the nominee. So we just need to go with that. And everyone else just roll over and play dead and just go along with it. We don't want to hear from you. You know, there were some decent candidates in this past GOP primary. I was a fan of Herman Cain, and I know there's other people out there that may have differing views, but we were sold Romney as inevitable, and people just bought it. And then because of that, you know, we lost the election. It was sold to us that Romney was inevitable. It was no choice. It was just that's what was going to happen. And Romney was pretty in if you remember in some of the primary battles, you know, Florida and whatnot, he was nastier to his own party. He was, you know, with the negative ads and everything else than he was ever to Obama. So it's one of those things where, you know, the GOP and its so-called wisdom pushed this candidate on us, you know, him and McCain. And we lost both times. The GOP, they're too worried about seeming – they want to seem nice. They want to seem Like they're really it's okay. They're really good people, you know. And even though regardless what they do, the media is still going to portray them as the bad guys. The media is still going to, you know, the media is pretty much the arm of the Democrat Party. So the Republicans need to just get that in their head and stop worrying about it, because regardless of what they do, they're still going to be painted as the bad guys. You know, in this past election, it was very interesting. The conventional wisdom is that, you know, whoever wins the independents is going to pretty much win the election. That's conventional election wisdom right there. Except in this case, Romney, in most cases, won independents by sometimes rather large majorities. And yet Obama still won the election. So conventional wisdom was just turned upside down and inside out. And my guess is that the base, the conservative Republican base, just was not as energized as Obama's base. That's what it boils down to. Because Romney, he's just another Republican rhino that's been thrown at us by the establishment. You know, people stayed home. People didn't want to vote. You know, turning out the base, you got to energize the base. You know, everyone goes after the independents. But if you don't have your base solidly behind you, as we just found out, it can still lead to disastrous results. So the GOP here is just, you know, I don't even, yeah, I'm not saying they're all bad. I mean, there are some very good conservatives in there, Marco Rubio and others. But at the same time, if the large majority of GOP establishment politicians are just going to keep feeding us this Democrat-lite Republican rhinos, then I personally think there really isn't a home for us conservatives in the GOP. I mean, am I calling for a third party? I don't know. But, I mean, something's got to give, because we got 2014 primaries are going to be coming up before we know it. And maybe the Republicans can take or at least maintain the House or maybe take the Senate. But, I mean, if they're not going to advance a strong opposition to what Obama's doing, then there's really – we're just sending people in there to take up space. We're just sending people in there to sit in a seat and toe the party line and be Democrat light. But anyways, in case you were wondering, it's pretty clear that the switch is on to conservativenationradio.org. And if you have any doubts, just check out our new Saturday show with internet radio veteran Robert Garding. The new Wise Conservatism show now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. After years hosting the new Wise Conservatism show, Robert has a big following. So listen Saturday and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of new Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The new Wise Conservatism show with Robert Garding, Sundays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So anyways, what do you think about this? 718-305-7176. If the GOP is going to just pretty much act like Democrat, pseudo-Democrats, where does that leave us conservatives? Is it time to look at another party? Or is it time to send a strong message to the GOP? I mean, Obama has already bankrupted our nation. He's taken from – he spent money from not only the next generation, but the generation after that, and all they want to do is spend more money. So where does that leave conservatives, which is a huge part of the GOP base? You know, it was – like I said before, conservatives gave the GOP the 2010 election. It's because they were energized and they showed up. And so they it showed to everybody that conservatism is not dead. It is not just some ideology held by a few backwoods rednecks who, you know, cling to their guns and religion. No, it is a sensible alternative to the havoc that is in chaos that is going on in D.C. right now, run by the liberals. You know, California is been shown to be, I saw a headline recently, net worth of minus over $1 billion, run by liberals. You know, show me an inner city ghetto or a really, really terrible neighborhood. It's going to be run by liberals. You know, they're destroying our nation and our finances and everything else. And the GOP is worried about its image. At this point, you know, it's come to this. It's finally come to a head. And I really think that it's based on years and years of liberal indoctrination behind the scenes. Got to take a quick break, but I'm going to elaborate on that when we get back. Don't go away. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And if you want to be a part of the show, I highly encourage you to call 718-305-7176. We're talking about the GOP and the future of conservatives. The GOP is seeming to just sell out on almost every issue, trying to become Democrat light in order to somehow make people like them. But that pretty much usually just guarantees that they lose elections. And I think this is the result of a long period of time now in which liberals have been, it's been a large effort, concerted effort. We can look at our schools now and say, oh, it's all liberal indoctrination. Yeah, but it's been a long period of time in which that's happened. Looking back, we can find progressives and liberals getting into the school system. And I think that's a big part of where it starts. You get the schools it's all over. And they've done a good job at putting, liberals, Marxists, socialists throughout all of the education system. Middle school, elementary school, high school, and especially college. You can go to college and come out a straight up communist because it's no longer about education, it's about indoctrination. And so when they have that firm grip on the schools, all they're going to be doing is churning out future Democrat voters. So this has been kind of the move towards what we see now, I think, where it's all coming to a head because they've finally gotten to that place where they have a strong enough hold. They also have the media. I mean, everyone knows, at least who's, I hope, listening to this show, that the media is a very, it's another arm of the Democrat Party. It's their propaganda machine. I think I saw article that said that, I think it was MSNBC, during the 2012 election, did not run one negative ad on Obama, but every single ad they ran about Romney was all negative. So we have this propaganda tool that is going out to give quote-unquote news to the people that have been through the public school system and have been indoctrinated with liberalism, so they don't know any better. And so, you know, they just eat it up. Some of the straight-up ignorance out there is not so surprising or appalling anymore, which that in itself is surprising and appalling. The Obama's first, you know, in 08, the people falling all over this idea. I mean, the woman saying, you know, Obama's going to put – she's not going to have to worry about putting gas in her car or, you know, paying the mortgage or anything because Obama was just going to take care of that. I mean, I think there's a strong disconnect now between what this country's founding ideals were and what many, many people are experiencing today and what they've been taught through going through the school system that has been overrun with liberalism now and tuning into the news that is pretty much liberal propaganda machine of Obama's government. You know, what are we going to – also, there's the entitlement programs. The Democrats have spent many years building up entitlement programs in order to buy votes. I don't think anyone's against helping out other people. But what the Democrats have done is taken this idea and expanded it to more and more people. I saw recently there's over 80 million Americans now on food stamps. And, you know, poverty has hit the 1960s levels. This is Obama's America, but people don't seem they don't attribute any of this to liberal policies. It must be the Republicans who are holding everything back. So they've this monopoly now on, they have people dependent on the government, who, you know, in some cases need the assistance, in some cases don't. You know, I've definitely known people who have done all they could to just qualify for more benefits so that they don't have to work. You know, there's definitely those people out there who just live off the government on purpose and, you know, pretty much don't do anything. So this idea of America and what we're all about has greatly slipped. And, you know, I don't want to sound too negative here. I'm just trying to look at it analytically. Based on the 2010 election, I know that conservatism is not gone. It is not defeated. But I think it's going to take more than a couple of solid politicians to fix it. I mean, liberals have indoctrinated, you know, and taken over many different parts of society, you know, from local governments up to the federal government. They've worked their way in. And I think to really work on a conservative, a rediscovery, it's going to take more than just a couple of solid politicians like Marco Rubio or anyone else to just step in and make it happen. It's got to come from people's hearts and what they believe. You know, so many of these people now have gone through the system don't know any better. You know, they went to a liberal college. Now they watch MSNBC or CNN, and they have no clue what being an American is all about. You know, that making sacrifices for the future generation. We want it all right now. You know, we like our rights, and we like to, you know, make up new rights as we go along. But we're not... This freedom that we enjoy is something that is just taken for granted now on many occasions and just expected. And it, I think the concept that it needs to be not only earned but also defended constantly, that idea has gone by the wayside. It just boggles my mind now how far down we've slipped. And, you know, it seems like Obama, sometimes I wonder how inept he is, or if he's just, this is all planned. You know, I can't decide between the two. But, you know, we're at a critical point now, and, you know, we're what, $17 trillion in debt. We have North Korea threatening to nuke us, and all we can talk about is same-sex marriage. I mean, that's the level of ignorance we are now facing. So what are we conservatives to do? I think it means that instead of just saying, you know, sometimes we get portrayed as the party of no. We just stand there and say, no, 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 we like the rich, we like blah, 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 even though that's not true. I think it's time to enunciate conservatism in a new way that actually is appealing and makes sense. You know, for example, I think Dr. Ben Carson is excellent at that. And you can tell that he's excellent at it because he's been getting a lot more criticism lately from the left. So if you're ticking them off, I think it's a strong indication that you're doing something right. But we need more Ben Carsons who are, you know, on the same page. You know, I mean, not all Democrats agree on everything, but and not all conservatives agree on everything. But the thing is, Democrats will hold together and you know, toe the line blindly and absentmindedly in order to just prevent anything Republican or conservative from happening. I'm not saying we need to turn into sheep, but I think it would be great to see a little more unity in some of the different conservative factions so we can come together and once again advance a positive message that no, we're not out to hurt the poor. We're not out to take away people's liberties and rights or money or anything like that, or that we don't just sit there and try to pad the pockets of rich people, but that, you know, the way the Democrats are doing it is actually destructive. Spending money we don't have to give to someone is hurting them in the long run. And that's all there is to it. So, you know, I think it's time that, you know, let's come together, you know, somewhere outside of CPAC and all this established stuff. I mean, that might be great, but it's just, we're just talking to each other. We're just coming up and you know, patting each other on the back in a sense. And maybe not always, but, you know, at this point, I think we need a strong, positive message instead of one just saying no or rebuking Democrats. And not the way the GOP is doing, where we change our views and our values just so we don't get criticized. But just like I was saying last week about, you know, the whole same-sex marriage debate, you know, the way the Catholic Church approaches it, it's not time to just sit there and say no. But I think it's just, the Catholic Church needs to, in a much clearer and more articulate way, enunciate what marriage is. So instead of translating that over to this whole discussion on conservatism, what is conservatism? What is our view for the country, and how is it going to be better? You know, and actually answering and going after some aggressively sometimes some of the liberal talking points. You know, because you know, we have a media. There are some elements in the media that we can use, but there's a media out there that is going to be totally against us. So I think it's time to ignore what that media has to say, in as much as worrying about being liked and present that message regardless of how they're going to portray it. And then when they do say something, point out immediately what a big lie it is. I mean, the liberals are vicious in their attacks. They come out swinging. And any time that a Republican stands up to even meekly defend some kind of, you know, a comment or an argument, that they're portrayed as how aggressive and how terrible and blah, blah, blah. So let's hit back, you know, and laugh at, you know, laugh at the absurdity of what the Democrats are saying and doing, you know, get the message out that the Democrats have ruined our country financially and in other ways, and that there's another way to do things. And we're going to try to come up with a way to do that through conservative values, Christian values, and a return to a sense of duty and nationalism in America. Got to take a quick break. More after this.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Howdy, folks. We are back. You are listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on ConservativeNationRadio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the show, please call 718-305-7176. Got some news to get to here in a minute, but I got to say, I just started doing exercising again and eating right and all that because, you know, summer's coming. It's more, you want to be outdoors more, you want to be moving around. And so I started doing Insanity on Monday. I don't know if you've heard of that. If you haven't, it's from Beachbody.com. It sure is a doozy because at this point walking kind of hurts. But in a little while it'll be a good kind of hurt. As the Marines say, pain is weakness leaving the body. So you know, it's a good thing. So, you know, check that stuff out. Beachbody has a lot of cool programs. Just home workout stuff. You just put in a DVD, you hit play and you go along with it. So you know, I'm not trying to make a complete plug here. It was just on my mind, so you know, but I throw it out there. But yeah, anyways, little bit of news here. And anyone been following the situation with North Korea? It seems like this Kim Jong-un or whatever he is, he's kind of going off the deep end here. From Google News, North Korea approves nuclear strike on United States. Wow, isn't that fun? We're going to get nuked by North Korea. North Korea dramatically escalated its warlike rhetoric on Thursday, warning that it had authorized plans for nuclear strikes on targets in the United States. The moment of explosion is approaching fast, the North Korean military said, warning that war could break out today or tomorrow. Pyongyang's latest pronouncement came as Washington scrambled to reinforce its Pacific missile defenses, preparing to send ground-based interceptors to Guam and dispatching two Aegis-class destroyers to the region. Tension was also high on the North's heavily fortified border with South Korea after Kim Jong-un's isolated regime barred South Koreans from entering a Seoul-funded joint industrial park on its side of the frontier. The Korean People's Army General Staff warned Washington that U.S. threats would be smashed by cutting-edge, smaller, lighter, and diversified nuclear strike means. The merciless operation of our revolutionary armed forces in this region has been finally examined and ratified, the statement said. So basically, they're going off the deep end. Sounds like the Chinese are mobilizing on their border because, it seems to be kind of getting out of hand, folks. And in this case, it's kind of sad that we have Obama, who has been disarming America's nuclear arsenal for a while now. He's the one that's in office. It's kind of scary when he won the Nobel Peace Prize before even being, he was sworn into office and didn't even have a chance to sign the stimulus package, and he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for basically existing. So what's this guy going to do, and how is this a reflection on our foreign policy? 718-305-7176. Obama loves guns. I think he does. Not Americans having guns, but he loves guns when he can give them to people like Egypt and Muslims and terrorists. And he loves sending over fighter jets and everything else. But what's he going to do now with this North Korea situation? The politicians will sit around and say, this is a serious threat, or they make their little statements. So this is we're very concerned. Be concerned, because North Korea is now turning into this guy's a psycho who is in charge of the place. This dictator, Kim Jong Un, and I really think that a lot of this saber rattling, and maybe not so much saber rattling, comes from a sense that the United States is much weaker in the world and has been Obama's been running around apologizing and playing nice to everybody and has weakened the United States' position in the world with our foreign policy that is pretty much a joke. And now we find these two-bit dictators coming about and threatening to send over nukes. I really think that, especially some of the libertarians might not like this, but when the U.S. is strong, the world is more peaceful. And I believe that because we have been the last remaining superpower. And when we're not worried about, shipping contraceptives to Africa or sending over fighter jets and weapons to terrorist groups, when we have a strong foreign policy, we hold these two-bit dictators and these thugs at bay. That's what happens. When they see that we've got a lot of nukes pointed right at them saying, go ahead and try something, they sit quiet. But now we have Obama is in his second term now. We've got 3.5 more years left with this guy. And now we have Kim Jong-un and the Chinese seriously cranking up the rhetoric. North Korea is threatening to send out a nuclear strike. Although I did see in a different article, a lot of analysts were saying they don't believe that North Korea actually has a missile that could reach the U.S., much less deliver a nuclear payload. But, that's just analysts. What do they know? But I seriously think that all this saber rattling and this aggressiveness coming from North Korea is a result of a weakened United States in the world. And that's what happens when liberals come in and try to down, we're cutting down the military. We have this sequester that's supposed to – they've used to be as painful as possible to certain people. But I think that when the United States is strong and – virtuous, then the rest of the world is more peaceful. I'm not saying it's perfect. We can't do everything. But, you know, if we just withdrew from everything, I'm not sure what would happen. But now we're facing this threat. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Obama does now facing a thug. I mean, I don't think he can go over there and apologize to North Korea or maybe bow to Kim Jong-un. I don't think any of that will work because, you know, he's a thug. He is, you know, kind of throwing a temper tantrum. He seems like a spoiled brat. And, you know, now he's trying to make waves. Well, I mean, what are we going to do? Let's see what this president does. But I don't have much confidence that it's going to actually involve a spine or actually courage or fortitude. But anyways, in other news, and this is hilarious and really sad at the same time, this from the Washington Post. Obama administration pushes banks to make home loans to people with weaker credit. Yes, you heard that right. The Obama administration is engaged in a broad push to make more home loans available to people with weaker credit, an effort that officials say will help power the economic recovery, but that skeptics say could open the door to the risky lending that caused the housing crash in the first place. President Obama's economic advisors, yeah, that's a loose term, and outside experts say the nation's much-celebrated housing rebound is leaving too many people behind, including young people looking to buy their first homes and individuals with credit records weakened by the recession. In response, administration officials say they are working to get banks to lend to a wider range of borrowers by taking advantage of taxpayer-backed programs, including those offered by the Federal Housing Administration, that insure home loans against default. This is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, what is wrong with these people? Got to take a quick break. In case you were wondering, the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. By the way, TradM is a liberal-free website. All right, anyways. So the Obama administration is pushing banks to lend to people who have weaker credit scores, because liberals always like to get this idea that everyone needs to own a home, and while that would be nice, they just can't leave the market to itself. Now they're going to force more banks to make loans that are risky. Again, we just had an economic recession based on these policies in the past. And they want to do it again. Because the housing rebound is leaving too many people behind? I mean, what does that even mean? They want equality and equal outcomes so bad that they're going to force it. I don't own a home. Well, maybe one day I will, but I'm going to do everything I can to earn it and make sure I get all my ducks in a row in order to own a home. But that's just me. I mean, I don't want a government program to come in and create a situation that's going to lead to another recession just so I can have a house. If I can't afford it, I don't want it. I don't want to buy it. I want to be able to save up my own money. I want to be able to arrange my own finances in a way where one day I'll own a home. hopefully sooner rather than later. But the government's again coming in and messing with the market, and it's just going to end up the same way. I mean, they demonized after the last time this happened, they demonized banks, these predatory lenders who went out there after the government forced them all to make these loans in the first place. So the government forced banks to do it, and then they demonized banks when there was a housing crisis. So anyways, I got to take another break here, but don't go away. We'll keep going.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew!
Wait.
Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold
What'd
on.
You say? Wait a second, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. And the number, if you want to be a part of the show, is 718-305-7176. And we're talking about how the Democrats and the Obama administration are now looking to try to coerce, once again, banks into making more home loans available to people with weaker credit. Basically, it seems like they're looking to go down the same path as we did the last time that led to a housing bubble and a recession worldwide. So, because it's leaving too many people behind, this housing rebound. So it seems absolutely ludicrous to me that we would do the same thing, that they're going to come again and meddle in the market, the housing market, which has been delicate and, you know, pretty much a little, maybe it has been rebounding, but that doesn't mean it's perfect or in any way, you know, stable or in a position where we can once again go messing with it. But here they come again, because everyone needs to own a home. And by golly, the Democrats are going to do what they can using taxpayer money or anything else they can to do it. Except, is that going to be taxpayer money or borrowed money? It's hard to tell the difference these days. Most of it's borrowed, it seems, because when you have a taxpayer revenue of several trillion dollars, apparently that's not enough for what the Democrats want to do. So we need more, lots more money. So anyway, in the next from the Daily Mail, a UK-based website. The U.S. sees the highest poverty spike since the 1960s, leaving 50 million Americans poor as government cuts billions in spending. So does that mean there's no way out? The number of Americans living in poverty has spiked to levels not seen since the mid-1960s, classing 20% of the country's children as poor. It comes at a time when government spending cuts of $85 billion have kicked in after feuding Democrats and Republicans failed to agree on a better plan for addressing the national deficit. The cuts will directly affect 50 million Americans living below the poverty income line and reduce their chances of finding work and a better life. Before spending cuts kicked in on March 1st, 49-year-old Antonio Hammond became a success story for Catholic Charities of Baltimore, one of a multitude of organizations trying to haul people out of poverty. In this In this Maryland port city, one of four residents is considered poor by U.S. government standards. Maryland is also run by Democrats. That's my little that's my little addition. All right, so the premise of this article is kind of annoying to me, and I'll tell you why. Because it's under the premise that the only way to help poor people is through excessive government spending. How many trillions of dollars have we spent on the war on poverty, only return to 1960s levels? Something isn't adding up. But what absolutely doesn't add up, or at least what makes sense, is that the more money you spend, the more the less poor people will be. It also, that article is also under the premise that the only way people can be helped is through the government stepping in. Why not creating the atmosphere in our country economically to where these people can help themselves and get a job or get the training for a job? Why not set up those conditions? The Democrats have a stranglehold, taxing the rich. They've been raising taxes, and as much as they like to say that they're only taxing the rich, it still hurts everybody. All these taxes that they have are still coming in and creating this atmosphere. Small businesses are suffering, laying people off. And meanwhile, the government dole gets bigger and bigger. So, I mean, in my head, the Catholic response is we need to create the society where people have those opportunities, where, encouraging a mindset of charity. I don't want to be forced to give money to someone. I'd like to choose to give my money to that which I see fit, an organization or a person. I've done that before, and I'm sure you have too. Conservatives are very generous with money because we don't believe in the government forcing us to give it. So the government can redistribute it as it sees necessary. I'd love to see an atmosphere where we give incentives to organizations and people to donate more time and money to local communities. It all starts locally, and that's the Catholic principle of subsidiarity. Keep things as local as possible. Communities working together to rebuild themselves, and this can even work in an inner city that has been overrun by Democrats and destroyed by Democrats, as we see so often. It's really sad that so many of these sources and people, the only way they see poverty, a solution to poverty, is through government spending. But how many more years and how many more trillions of dollars do we have to spend before we realize that just dumping money on it doesn't work? Dumping money on most things isn't going to help the situation. Individual people, individual charity is what can bring about a true change and bring people out of poverty, bring people into productive, fulfilling lives. It's not fulfilling to sit there and be on the government dole. It's a waste of life, especially if you're able-bodied and able to work. But anyways, it's almost time to wrap it up here, but before I do that, I want to mention that tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, is the Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch. Carl Higbee is a former Navy SEAL, and Guy Reschenthaler is a former Navy JAG officer. That's the legal guy. So, we got a Navy SEAL, the Department of the Navy takes over Conservative Nation Radio on Thursdays, and, it's a good thing. We got the Navy SEAL and, the lawyer who can, bail him out just in case, anything happens there. So, it's a great show. They're hard-hitting, very, very entertaining to listen to. So I highly encourage you to check out The Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch tomorrow, Thursday, at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. That just about wraps it up for me. So I hope you enjoyed listening to Carlos Carrasco talk about his book and also his conversion to Catholicism. I thought that was a very inspiring story. And, you know, if check us out on Facebook, The Warrior Catholic Show. I am on Facebook. You can like that page. Also, if you want to get a hold of me personally, you can send me an email at warriorcatholicshow@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any, if you would like to be on the show as a guest, send me an email. I'd love to get you on and hear what you have to say. So, anyways, you can always, you know, until next Wednesday, and it's our usual time, 7 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. I always enjoy chatting with everybody and love to hear from you. So, you know, until next Wednesday, I wish you a great weekend. And hopefully the weather, at least in Virginia, has been chilly. Hopefully it'll get a little warmer. So until then, I wish you the best. God bless.